All right. The Rambam, very interestingly, actually changes the order of the Malachos and puts Bona earlier. I have a theory about that. Maybe we'll get back to it later. But let's start with a more basic question, which is, what is the Gader of the Malacha of Bona? So at the beginning of Perka Bona, Shmuel says like this, HaMetzadid is HaAven Chayev. And the Gemara explains there are basically three levels of a building. There's the bottom, which is more of a foundational stone, the middle, which is the standard bricks that make up the building, and then there's the top level. And the Gemara seems to say, at least if you learn like Rashi, that you're chayv on all three for Bona, on the bottom by just making it firmly into the ground, on the middle row, you're only chayv when you cement them in, and a top row, even when you place it on top. And all three of them are chayv mishum Bona. However, when you look at the Rambam, Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Beis, he says something very interesting. Let's just take a look there. Again, if you have a Rambam, it would be helpful. Habona, kol shu chayev. Hamashva, pnei akarka, bezayis, kegon shishvil tel, omile guma, okay, how is it from Shabona? Okay, so we know that. Echad nosin seven, echad nosin satit, hanosin satit chayev, because that's when it becomes cemented. Uve nidva chayelion, when it comes to the upper level, even if you simply place it on the tit, you're chayev. Because you don't put any further tit on top of it. So the Magid Mishnah asks the obvious question here, which is the Rambam omits the bottom layer. The Rambam says you're chayev for the middle layers with tit, you're chayev for the top layers without. But what about the middle? I mean, what about the bottom? So the Magid Mishnah says, oh, it's no problem. Rambam didn't omit the bottom row. He just talks about it a little later in Halacha Yud Ches. What does he say over there? Hamisates is even kol shu chayev, mishum mak bepatish. So hamisates is even biyisod abinyan v'tikna biyado v'oshiva b'mamorai lachay mishum mak bepatish. So Magid Mishnah says, great, he didn't omit anything. He paskins it later on, and he says Rashi says the same thing, but a little strange because Rashi says you're chayev mishum bona, and the Rambam says you're chayev mishum mak bepatish. The Rambam's pshat is a little strange because why does the Rambam say the bottom one is chayv mishum makom patish if the middle and the top are chayv mishum bona? And if anything, I mean, if I was going to pick one to be chayv makom patish, maybe I'd pick the top one because that's the completion. But why the bottom one? Why is that chayv? So perhaps this is maybe the Rambam says this because of the way he defines the malacha. If you remember back at the beginning of the year, we saw Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav, the Rambam there is defining what's considered an av, what's considered a tolda. And he tells us that the reason why Megabein is a tolda of Bona is because Bona is about combining composite parts into a whole thing. The Gibnova, so Vina Chai Mishum Bona, why? Shekal Makabitz Chelek El Chelek V'dibek HaKol Ad She'yase Guf Echad HaReze Doma L'Vinyan. So now we could explain why the Rambam didn't think that laying the foundational stone could possibly be Chai Mishum Bona, because you're not combining it with anything. You're just laying the foundation. It's a stone on its own. And therefore, it couldn't be Bona. Bona is about combining things to make something bigger. Laying the foundational stone, all you have is a single stone. Now, even though, let's say, smoothing out the floor, the Rambam said, could be Chayv Mishum Bona, but that's because, again, it's part of something bigger. It's part of a structure. It's part of a binyan. Here, all you've done is laid a cornerstone. Well, that's not part of anything yet. It will become part of a house. will become part of something bigger. Therefore, in the later steps, you're finding Shimbona. But that first step, where you just laid the foundational stone, maybe that can't be Bona. It's not part of anything else. That's where the Rambam says Mach B'Patish. Oh, but, well, how could it be Mach B'Patish? How could it be Mach B'Patish? You're not completing anything. So we're going to see later, does the Rambam actually require Mach B'Patish to be at the end? And that's not going to be so pasha. But even if we did, perhaps the answer is that if it is the completion of a step, so then you are chayav mishamach bepatish. Maybe this is the completion of the first stage of the binyan process, and it's a significant stage, therefore you're chayav. We'll see, though. Maybe we could go in another direction in terms of the Rambam Shita. Do you need Mach B'Patish to be at the end? Now, we saw that the Rambam defines the Malacha as combining things into one. And he seems to emphasize that you're medabek them, right? Shekol ha-makabitz chelak al-chelak v'dibek ha-kol achi ha-asa guf echad harei zedome l'binyan. So do you need actual... do you need it to actually be medubak? So the top row, you're chayav, even without being mizdabek it. At least that's the way Rashi learns. I'm not sure actually the Rambam would agree to that. The Rambam writes, uvenidvach alyon afilu hela esa even vehenichal gabe hatit chayav. I don't know, does that maybe it's also being connected to the tit? But regardless, the point is, I think, even if it's not mizdabek, that if it's in firmly, that you don't need like physical glue, as long as this is connected in a very firm way, in a way that's not going to fall off or move away, that would be chayv misham bona. You don't actually need like the medium of cement or glue or something like that, which raises a different question, an interesting question, which is, so let's say I put down a heavy piece of furniture in my room. I put down a bookcase. Is that going to be bona? Because after all, it's basically firmly planted there. It's never going to move. Is that bona? So the answer presumably is that's not bona. And the reason is exactly what the Rambam said, because bona is about merging things to the point that they become one. My furniture isn't part of my room. There's my room and there's my furniture. It's true. I'm never going to move my furniture, probably, because it's so big and heavy and the like. But it still we wouldn't say it's one with the room. There's the room and there's the furniture. So we need them to be, so even though in that case, you know, it's connected enough to be considered bona because of its weight, but I don't think it's unified enough to be considered bona. Yeah.
So is that the difference between the bookcase and the floor, as you said before about sweeping?
Right. Yeah.
So the floor is carcass, part of it. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But the bookcase is the top.
Exactly. I mean, you could have bona with a bookcase if you like nailed them into the walls. Again, in theory, conceivably, if you view, even without nailing it, if you viewed them as becoming part of the wall, then you could talk about that being bona. I don't think that's the way we look at a bookcase. So therefore it wouldn't be bona. We're going to get back to an interesting question, about, Binyan Lasha and how this relates to it. But okay. So let's talk a little bit about Mach B'Patish and then how it differs from bona. We've already seen the Rambam sort of take something that, at least when I read the Gemara, he assumed it was bona and says it's chayv mishum Mach B'Patish. And the truth is, Mach B'Patish is really the hardest malacha to define, because even the words, we don't know what they mean. Mach B'Patish, hitting what with the patish. So first of all, the Gemara and Rashi say that it's not just Mach B'Patish, but it's Gmar Kol Malacha over here. Now, does that mean when Rashi says over here that it's Gmar Kol Malacha, does that mean you're chayiv for the last act of every malacha. I mean, if you're sewing a shirt, stitching a shirt is the last stitch, chai mishamak bepantesh. And in which case, I guess you'd be chayv shtayim for magma patash. So probably not. Probably, as we'll see, if you're chayv for something else, at least according to Rashi, you're not going to be chayv mishum magma patash. And therefore, probably, it's only when this last act is somewhat distinct from the acts that preceded it. But we still need a geder. So the Meiri over here, it's on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, asks the question. He quotes the Chachmei Hadoros, and he asks, what is the geder of Makom Patash? And they answer like this, V'tirtzu, shelo namar Makom Patash, al macha shenishlama kula, kegon shechatzet evan bahar, v'nisparka kula misvivoseha, v'nimtza shenishlama melechas ha'evan, ela shelo nafla, See other Rishonim that give a similar type of gader. Sounds like what he's saying is basically it's not. And it's probably something that on its own would not be a malacha because it's finished. It draws its chashivos and it becomes a malacha precisely because it's at the end. So you're done. But you still need, it's missing something, but it's not missing what you've been doing until now. Might not even be missing any malacha. And that's the gader of Makom Patash. Tosfos, over here at the beginning of the parak, says, what is Makom Patash? Dahai Makom Patash hainu makush ha'acharon shemaka al ha'kli b'shaz gmar malacha. So what are you hitting, right? That's the big question. What are you hitting? So Tosfos says you're hitting the kli. In other words, you're hitting the kli with a hammer. Rashi, though, on Ayin Gimel, says something very, very surprising and seemingly against this. How does Rashi define Makom Patash on a Mishnah? Ayin Gimel with Aleph. Hugmar kol malacha shken omen makab kornas al hasadan lahachliko bigmar malacha. So we're not talking about hitting the hammer on the kli, like Toso said. We're talking about hitting the hammer on the anvil at the end of the malacha. Masdizinami lo machayev lai ala bigmar malacha. So it sounds like from Rashi, when you hit the hammer on the anvil to smooth it out. So that means to smooth out the hammer. That is the gader of the melacha makom patash. So why do you do this? Again, it sounds like you're fixing up your tools. You've basically done your melacha, and this seems to, you're all finished. But when you're finished your melacha, you want to flatten out your hammer, I guess, maybe in the process of making this thing, your hammer got bent out of shape. You take the hammer, you hit the anvil, and that's Makom Patash. That's what Rashi says. Now, what does Rashi mean? Is it Makom Patash on the hammer? That doesn't seem correct. Because if it's Makom Patash on the hammer, in other words, you're fixing the hammer that's been broken, you've completed the hammer, then every time you hit the hand on the anvil, you would be Chai Mishum Makom Patash. And the Gemara says that might be true for Rashbag. According to Rashbag, when you hit the hammer on the anvil, frequently, and during the course of doing the malacha, you're chayiv. Let's say you're making a tas. So you do three hits on the tas and one hit on the anvil. So according to Rashbag, you're chayiv on hitting the anvil, but not according to the Chachamim. So what is Rashi talking about? So must be that, I don't know, let's say I'm making a cup. So I'm hitting the cup with my hammer, hitting. When I'm finally finished making my cup, I now take the hammer and I hit the anvil and I'll chai mishum makom patash on the cup. Because this is the last act in making the cup. Now there needs to be a tikkun And in this case, the tikkun is on the hammer. But since this is considered the final step of making a cup, so Rashi says, you're chayev mishum maka bepatish. And what it seems like Rashi is saying, as I said, which is quite remarkable, is that this isn't a malacha on its own. It shouldn't be a malacha on its own. It gets its chashivas because it's a capstone, somewhat similar to the Me'iri, but maybe going a little further. In other words, the chashivas over here is not the act in and of itself, but it's the capstone, it's the completion. It requires a tikkun, it requires something to be accomplished, but that is enough to be chayev. And that's, so, you know, what's the definition? Maybe according to Rashi, the definition of malacha is it's the capstone malacha. And the Chiddush, again, like the Me'iri, also said the same point, that you're basically done. And it's only once you're done that you're Chayim Shemak Patish. The Chiddush and the Rashi that you don't see necessarily in that formulation of the Me'iri is that even though the Tikkun isn't in the Kli being made, but it's on the hammer, since that's seen as the completion of the process of cup making, so that's enough to be chayav mishumak bepatish. And in that sense, it's different than a view of Rashbag. Rashbag on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph says that, again, let's say when they made the tas. The tas in the Mishkan was this very thin layer of gold, something like, imagine making the homemade aluminum foil by hitting metal very, very thin. So they used to hit the hammer on the anvil every 3 pounds. Now there's 3 pounds on the tas, 1 pound on the anvil. Rashbag says over there, you're chayv each and every time. But we don't accept Rashbag Shita. Now, that's actually what the Ritva asks on Rashi. The Ritva on Ein Gimel Baral says, one second, what Rashi's describing seems to be the view of Rashbag, and we reject Rashbag. But the answer is that it's not a kasha because Rashi only says you're chayv at the end. And that's why it's different than Rashbag. Rashbag thinks throughout the process you're chayv. Chachamim say needs to be the capstone. And it's Meduyik in the Lashon of Rashi, right? Lashon Rashi over there, again, Mak Bapasha, Naim Gimel Med Aleph, is Umas Nisa Nami Lo Machayv Ela Bigmar Melacha. You're only Machayv for hitting the hammer on the anvil, Bigmar Melacha, as opposed to Rashbag. So the Chiddush of Rashbag is that even though it's Bashas Melacha, and according to Chachamim, it's only Gmar Melacha. Ritva, again, doesn't think that's a distinction that makes sense, because even though it's Gmar Melacha, you need there to be a tikkun in the Kli. So it's not enough to be Gmar Melacha. It's Gmar Melacha, I mean, the last act of tikkun in the Kli that you're making. So we could say that the last bang on the cup could be Makatish, but it can't be the last bang on the anvil, banging the hammer on the anvil. That doesn't make sense. And that's why the Ritva prefers the explanation of the Rach, which is similar to that Me'iri that we said before. The Rach Piresh, La'achar shenase ha'kli, makin bo bepatish, you hit the patish on the kli, la'hashvos panav, to smooth it out. V'hi be'atzma ena malacha, shekvar nigmar kli. That act, in and of itself, wouldn't be considered a malacha. Why? Because the kli is basically done already. Elegmar malacha. And that's why we say everything that's a Gemar Malacha is a told at least a Mak Bepatish. So according to Rashi, let's say, the Machlokas Chachamim and Rashbag is, are you chayv when you hit the hammer on the anvil only at the end or even in the middle? According to the Rabbeinu Chananel, the Ritva, no. According to the Chachamim, you're never chayv when you hit the hammer on the anvil, unless we're talking about the Mak Bepatish on the hammer, but assuming we're talking about Mak Bepatish on the cup, you're never chayev. You're only chayev when you hit the cup, when a tikkun is in the cup.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You start off talking about the building, the foundation stone of the building, and you're wondering why the Mak Bepatish, you're doing a lot more building on top of it. I think one can more simply say that the Mak Bepatish, and this is why I think all the Shitos, is when you hit the hammer on the foundation stone to smooth it out or to align it, whatever exactly you're doing with it. because it's either the Gemara Malacha on the making foundation stone as the stone itself. It has nothing to do with the binyan.
That's exactly what we said, I think.
Oh, I missed that. I'm sorry.
In other words, this was the final stage of laying the foundation.
No. Nothing to do with that. The foundation stone all by itself. Let's say you're in the quarry still, and you're putting... So you haven't put the foundation stone in its spot yet.
Well, then you're chayav on the stone.
Yeah, that's what I... Well, that's... No, I'm talking about when you say that putting the foundation stone is makab b'fatish.
No, putting that's the foundation stone is not on the house. You're not... You've already quarried your stone. You're now building your house.
No, but I'm saying maybe in other words, even if you're not going to put anything on top of it, just putting the stone there and banging the stone to make it maybe smooth out the stone or, you know...
Like well, it's not smoothing out the stone. It's making it firmly in place, I think, is what the Gemara says. Why you're chayav.
I thought mesates means that you're dealing with the stone, like it's like the tzlich on Yom Kippur, in Kineha having...
Rambam, let's read what he says. The Rambam says that, well, the Gemara says that, again, there's three levels of binyan. And according to Rashi, when you lay all three, you're chayav mishum bona. And the Rambam says when it comes to the foundation, you're chayav for makab patish. And he writes, his lashon is... Hamitzadeid. We're not talking about nesates anymore. Hamitzadeid esa even b'yisod habinyan v'tikna b'yado v'oshiva b'makom ha-ra'uila chai mishamak b'patish.
Okay, I thought he said mesates. I'm sorry.
That was the beginning of that halacha. The beginning of the halacha was hamitzadeid esa even kol shu chai mishamak b'patish. Then the halacha we're dealing with is the next point. Okay. So that's why we asked, why is it not patish?
I misunderstood.
No problem. Okay, so we're making progress. We have the gader of the malacha, at least for a number of Rishonim. There's another Rashi on Kuf Beis on the base. We've been focusing on Rashi and Ein Gimel. Rashi and Kuf Beis on the Mishnah write, Tamach bepatish, gam hu me beavos melachos, v'hu belaz pik, shemifotseitz bo esa even minasela la'achar shechatzav esa even saviv, umavdil min hahar k'tsas, hu makab bepatish, Maka Gedola. So you've already somewhat separated, chiseled out this stone, but it's still connected to the mountain. And now you do one big wham. Vihimis parekes, v'nofeles, v'zeu gmar melacha shol chotzvei even. So this is the gmar melacha of chotzvei even, b'chol gomer b'shabis melacha told us makpatish. It's actually very interesting in a number of levels. First of all, he starts off with saying Gam Zehu Be'avos Melachos, and then he concludes with V'chol Hagomer B'shah B'shah Melachas Toldas Makpadish. Are we talking about the Av? Or are we talking about the Tolda? So Sumi means that if you're Makpadish, it's an Av, and our mission is talking about a Tolda. In other words, Makpadish is the Avos Melachos, but this is not makab patish. This our Mishnah is talking about a tolda, and that would explain why he gives a different explanation. He didn't give the explanation of the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph because that Mishnah is telling about avos. Our Mishnah is telling us about the tolda of the makab patish, which is why would answer Tosas's kasha. Right? Tosas says, why did Rashi give an example that's not in the Mishkan? Why didn't he give the example of the Mishkan? The answer is, the example of the Mishkan, Rashi already told you, on Daf Ayin Gimel, that's when he listed Avos Melachos. The context of this Mishnah seems to be not about Kalim. The rest of the Mishnah is talking about, where the examples of the Mishnah are about making a stone. So therefore, it gives the Tolda. I guess you could also say that it's a Tolda because it's a sella. So that's what Rashi says that's what Tosfos says. There's a fascinating Rav Haigon who has a new definition of the Malacha. It's cited by the Rashba, and the Yerushalmi more or less says this. It's an incredible chiddush. He says that the Gemara later on says, why are you chayev for makah b'patish going to Rashbag? And the Havamina is just by practicing your motions, making yourself more precise. And the Gemara rejects that. Now in our Girsa, the Gemara says Ella, and we seem to totally reject it, and we're saying, no, you're chayev when you hit the hammer on the anvil. This Girsa didn't seem to have the word Ella. And what are we saying? We're saying, no, Taka, even though there's no tikkun on the chefza, you're only being ma'am and yado, you're going to be chayev mishum ma'ka bepatish. Right? This is bechlal the malacha. Now we do the lashon. Aval Rabbeinu haiga gonzal pirish, dabai v'rava, lefarsh devei rabba v'yosef asu, de'eno kemosha ata savor, de ma'amin es yado las malacha ka'amri. Elam et p'nei she ma'amin es yado l'chavim l'hakos, ba'osa malacha atzma shu osa. Since you need to be ma'amin es yado, this isn't stam practice. You're not just going to school and learning how to do this malacha, I need to make a very precise hit, right? With just the right amount of kalach. And therefore, I need like a practice swing to get ready. So since this is a necessary act to make whatever I'm making, so that is makah b'patish. In other words, it's a fascinating idea. Instead of, let's say, looking at the kli and breaking it down into its components, there are four steps to making this kli. And I could look at step one, a malacha, step two, a malacha, step three, a malacha, step four, a malacha. That's the way we would normally look at it. But rather, at least Rashbag holds, we look at the process. And if making a kli is a malacha, then all components, or at least all necessary components of making the kli, should also be a malacha. If they're worthy of being a malacha on their own right, so they'll be a malacha on their own right. They might be bona, for example, or tofer, whatever it is. And if they're unworthy of being a malacha in their own right, but they're necessary components to make this kli, so you know what we'll call that? Makah b'patish. So if it's necessary to calibrate my bang in the middle of making this kli, so that calibration, even though it's not a tikkun on anything, nothing is improved, but the calibration, I mean, I don't think it's makah b'patish on me because now my hand is calibrated. No, it's makah b'patish on the kli. I didn't touch the kli. I didn't help the kli. Yeah, but this is a necessary step in manufacturing. And we don't accept Rashbag. But first of all, it's not that far from what we saw Rashi said. Because what did Rashi say? Rashi said that even if you reject Rashbag and you hold the Chachamim, but when you take the hammer and you hit the anvil at the end, since that is the last step of cup making, and it's a tikkun at least on the hammer, then you're chayev. So this concept, what we're seeing in basically almost all the Rishonim we've seen, is that makah b'patish is taking something that in and of itself is unworthy of being a malacha. And because of the context that it's in, it has chashivos and it becomes a malacha. Now, again, the different Rishonim that we've seen, each one of them has a different geder as to why that's chashiv, and it's also machlokas tanaim. Rashbag says it could be in the middle of the process of the malacha. Chachamim might say needs to be at the end. According to the Ritva, it has to still be a tikkun on the guf hadavar that you're making. According to Rashi, it doesn't. But the point is that this is an act that gains its chashivos because of the context. In and of itself, seemingly, it's unworthy to be an act. So the most extreme form of this is, let's say, Rashbag, as understood by Rav Hai, that even ma'amin es yado, if it's a necessary component, even though it's a tikkun on nothing, could be chayev. Okay, we don't accept that. We might not accept that in Rashbag, and we might not accept that for the Chachamim, certainly. But it raises an interesting question. We'll see, maybe in a couple minutes, not all Rishonim understand this. Accept this approach, but certainly in some of the Rishonim we've seen thus far. And this, of course, is first of all, it's a little reminiscent, not identical, but it's a little reminiscent of the idea that we saw for Hagasa, as the Chazon Ish understood in the Rambam, that, you know, since it's Tzorech Bishul, it could be chayv even if the food is already mevushal. That's sort of what this Rashbag, Rav Haigon understanding is. But what it's most relevant for, something to think about, is this idea that Rav Asher Weiss is machadish based off of the Yerushalmi to explain electricity. And we're going to get back to electricity at the end of today, or maybe next time, maybe tomorrow. But what he is saying, what this Yerushalmi says, is that, well, anytime there is something that should be a melacha, but we can't really figure out where to place it, it doesn't seem to fall under any of the other 38 melachos, so we could categorize it under the melacha of Makbe Patish. And whether we accept that Yerushalmi or not is unclear. None of the classical poskim cite it. And whether it makes sense, even if you accept that Yerushalmi, to apply it to electricity is also quite a question, which we'll get to later. But the idea that that's what's going on in Makbe Patish is certainly something that we've seen. Again, how far you take it, that's less clear. Now, let's turn to the Rambam. So, as we've been seeing, there's certainly an emphasis on Gemar in Makbe Patish, at least if you hold like the Chachamim, maybe not Rashbag, but at least in the Chachamim. When you turn to the Rambam, though, it doesn't sound that way. Rambam Halacha Tezayin writes, HaMakbe Patish HaKa'achas Chayev. He doesn't say anything about Sof HaMelacha and defining the Melacha. Why didn't he say HaMakbe Patish HaKa'achas B'Sof Chayev? Now, I suppose we could say that maybe Rambam Paskin like Rashbag. I don't know. Kol makom shishana Rashbag mishnasin olach mosim. Maybe. And the truth is, in the end, in the continuation of the Rambam, he doesn't mention Basov. Hamagar kol shehu, fausa nekev kol shehu, bein be'etz, bein be'matechas, bein be'vinyan, bein be'kelem, ha'reza told us makbe patish v'chayev. Right? Doesn't say Magar eid Basov. He doesn't say nekev kol shehu Basov. Maybe Paschus like Rashbach. But it's not possible to say that, at least because in Pirshin Shnayis explicitly, he says we don't Paschim like Rashbach. This is the Pirshin Mishnah in Perek Zion, and also later on. Let's take a look at what he says in both of those places. So first we'll read the Perashah Mishnayos and Perek Zayin. Hamakbe Patish, ve'afilu b'gmar melacha. Fascinating. When are you chayav for Hamakbe Patish? Afilu b'gmar melacha. Very different from what we've been seeing until now. Until now, again, certainly in the Chachamim, we've been seeing, no, you're only chayav when it's gmar melacha. It gets its chashivas because, like we said for Rashi, it's the capstone. It's the completion. You're done. But the Rambam says, you're chai for Makbe Patish, afilu b'gmar melacha. It sounds like almost kol shekein during the melacha. K'derech she'osen ha-mirakim b'patishim shemakim ha-kaos kalos me'od k'dei liyasher p'nei ha-kli u'lachliko. So first of all, he's not learning like Rashi in the sense that we're not talking about being Makbe Patish, hitting the hammer on the anvil, but we're hitting the anvil on the kli to smooth out the kli. And they do these little gentle taps to smooth out the kli. The korn le pu'ula zu italdrik. Okay, you could ask someone who knows Arabic what that means. Ulefikach, therefore, kol tikkun melacha u'gemara. Again, not emphasizing the self. Kol tikkun melacha u'gemara. Kegon, hashifa, tatzichtzuch. The chol minei hayipoi kulan todos makbe patish. Very interesting. So what else is makbe patish? Polishing, yipoi, tikkun melacha. Now, it's probably true that these are things that are almost always done at the end. You know, you don't usually start polishing it until you're finished. But that's not definitional.
I mean, the item functions without being polished.
Right, right.
My shoes are, I could wear them not polished.
Right, exactly. So it happens to be that you're not going to polish your shoes probably until you finish making them.
Sure.
But that's not the fundamental point. So the Rambam says here, what? You're chai for makbe patish afilu bigmar malacha. And what is it? Again, it's tiklan malacha gumara. And that's why he says any type of yipui kalim. Lacquering, polishing, smoothing. I think that's what these words mean in the Rambam. So what's the chiddush? What does Rashbag hold? In other words, we saw before, at least going to Rashi, what's the machlok between Chamim and Rashbag? Rashbag says you're chayiv when you're makapatish in the middle, and Chamim say you're only chayiv at the end. Now, if the Rambam thinks you're chayiv makapatish in the middle, so then what is it? What's the debate? So let's take a look at how the Rambam explains that debate. That's in Perek Yud Beis in the Pirshim Shnayis. Right, well, he says that. He says, Ein halacha kemoso. So at least in the Pirshim Shnayis, he says explicitly, we don't possibly like Rashbag. No, that's in, first we're reading from Perek Zayin,
right,
where he doesn't quote Rashbag. In Perek Yud Beis, in the Pirshim Shnayis. So let's read the Pirshim Shnayis over there. The Rashbag, so there. Shemaka patsha al sad nafal pish eno maka al hadavar shet sarach lirako chayev. Vahu sheyehe ze b'shas melacha. Lefi shekach osin hanafachim le'itim krovos. Oh, so the answer is that what the machlokas, according to Rambam, Rashbag holds your chayev, even though you're not maka on the tas or the kli, you're maka on the sada. And dafka b'shas malacha. So what turns out then is it's the opposite of Rashi. What Rashi says in Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph is chayev mishamak v'patish. The Rambam would say you're potter, at least assuming we follow the Chachamim. And what the Rambam says you're chayev, l'chora would be potter according to Rashi if it's in the middle. And that's why the Rambam writes hamak v'patish hakachas chayev. He doesn't say b'self. And moreover, that's why the Rambam in Halacha Yoches, when discussing Makpatish, keeps on emphasizing that you're Makbit, because this type of Yipoy, for it to be Chashav enough to be Chai Mishim Makpatish, needs to be Chashav. So the Rambam writes in Halacha Yoches, Halokate Ebola Shal Gabi Begadim Biyado, Kigon Elo Haybolo Shibaklit Samer Chai Mishim Makpatish, Vahu Shiakbit Alav. Or also in Halacha Yadayin, Hamapish Shchin B'Shabbos Kedei Larchav Piyamaka Kederach Sharovim Osim. Again, it needs to get Chashivas. It has to be Derech Umnin. Either it's Derech Umnin or Derech or your Makbit. Hamina Artalas Chadash Shchora Kedei L'Naos U'L'Hasir Yatzemer Elavan Hanitla B'Kederach Sharovim Osim Chayiv Chatas.
That's what we have by Malamin.
Exactly. But for the Rambam, it's Makapatish. So, right. So it's a yipoy that you're makbid on. That it needs to get chashivas somehow, this yipoy. The chashivas could come because you're makbid. The chashivas could come because it's dercha umnin. That's what it is. And you're even chayev, besof. And not only that. In other words, you might have thought that besof you should be pater because you're done already, right? No. If you're still chayev, even though it's besof. Certainly in the middle. Again, it'll happen to be that probably 99% of the time it's always going to be the self, because that's when you do Ipoy. But fundamentally, it's not about the self. But again, the Gemara does say kol gemar malacha, but that means even any type of gemar malacha, any type of Ipoy that you do at the end, you're chayv.
What is the definition? It's any act of additional post function.
Now again, that's not so different than what we saw in the other Rishonim that also said it. Just the difference is, could you be chayv in the middle or not? So we saw other Rishonim like Rach, Meiri, and the like, and they all said that what is makapatish when you're basically done, you're finished making it. So that's when you could be now chayv mishum makapatish. So what is the makapatish? Also, makapatish is this yipoy, because if it wasn't a yipoy, then he wouldn't be done. And then it would be chayv mishum bonan or something else. So the Rambam agrees to that. Now they both say that it's this type of additional, you know, not strictly necessary part of making it. It's just that they seem to hold that it's dafka basof, and therefore it's only once you've completed the thing that now it's complete. Whereas the Rambam thinks, no, in theory, you could be chayv all the way through. Again, typically, it's always going to be at the end. Yeah.
So I still don't understand the afilu basof. Like why?
I think that the afilu basof is because you might have thought that since this is done, then you're no longer chayv. Anything subsequent is considered usage, not manufacturing, not building. So this is done. And therefore, no. The answer is that since this is a yipoy that you're makbid about, then it's makbid patish.
So the added benefit that yipoy bill has is that it's like
tsura. It's more obvious that would be chayev because it's more obviously part of the manufacturing process. But we're chayev regardless. Yes, Moshe, you had a question?
Yeah. I was. I think my phone connection here is not as good. So I was saying, according to the Rambam, the word afilu doesn't seem to fit because it's the middle and the end are equal.
Yeah.
So why did you say afilu?
Because you might have thought that once it's finished, then you're no longer chayev. It is no longer part of the manufacturing process. This is part, now it's done already. And the answer is no. Since it's chashev, because you're makbid, or it's umnos, or the like, so therefore you're chayv, even though you're basically done.
So maybe the Rambam, when it's all going back to the building, the first course of stone, since you want to get it in place just exactly in the right spot.
So yes.
That's the yipui. It's not the fact that there's going to be...
Perhaps. Any, yeah, you know, that's what I said, that you might not have to come out of that. Correct. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara has a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about three different acts. Are they chayv mishum makbid patish or are they chayv mishum bona? Rav says bona, Shmuel says for all three makbid patish. They are mesases, osa neka of the loshal tanagolim, and ayel shufta bekufina demara. And the Gemara makes it shrichusa, which tells you that basically it's the same machlokas in all three, which is interesting because it doesn't seem to be the same machlokas in all three. But the Gemara basically says that a misases is the most like binyan, and ayel shufta bekufina demara is the least like binyan, and therefore, you know, when it comes to misases, really the chiddush is for Shmuel. When it comes to ayel shufta bekufina demara, the chiddush is within Rav, that even that's bona. Presumably, it's the least like bona because it's a kli. Anyhow, what exactly is going on here in this machloka? So Rashi says. And Tosos more or less also. Rashi Tosos Dimaschel Bishlama on the Kuf Gimel Med Aleph, and also Rashi Dimaschel Bishlama over there, that the Ikar Chiddush is that the question is, should you be chayiv mishum bona with a binyan kol shehu? In other words, this is each one of these acts in its own way is inferior. It's binyan kol shehu. According to Shmuel, it's not binyan. It's not, since it's kol shehu, we can't call it binyan. And memela, so since it's not bona, you're going to be chayim shemak bepatish. And according to Rav, since you're chayim for binyan kol shehu, so therefore, presumably, you wouldn't be chayim shemak bepatish. So really, according to Rashi and Tosos, it seems that their machlokas is in bona. Is this bona or not? Once we say it's not bona, then it'll be chayim shemak bepatish. And again, then we have this debate. Are these binyan kol shehu considered binyan or not? That's basically their debate. Rambam clearly has a different mahalich over here. The Rambam writes, by ayel shufta bekufina demara, so he paskins in halacha yud gimel, like Rav. Okay, so that's chayim mishum bona, when you put the handle into the rake or whatever it is, the shofar. In Halacha Yud Dalet, he writes, Ozenek of Kol Shehu, the Lul Shel Tanagolim, Kadeshi Kanis Lan Ora, chayv mishum boneh. Again, like Rav. Great. So two out of three, the Rambam paskins like Rav. Except in Perek Chav Gimel, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes, Ha'os ha'nekev kol shehu, asu l'hachnas l'hotzi, you can go nekev shebelo ha'tarna golem, shu asu l'hachnas o'er l'hotzi ha'evel, ha'reza chayv mishum magpatish. Whoa. So in Chav Gimel Aleph, he's paskining like Shmuel. And also in Perek Yud Halacha Tezani, paskins like Shmuel. So the Rav, the Rambam, sometimes paskins like Rav, sometimes paskins like Shmuel. And by making the hole in the Lul Shel Tana Golem, he paskins like both. Right? Again, Halacha Yadal, both of them are talking about Lul Shel Tana Golem. We do the Lashon. Ha'osin Nekev Kol Shel Lul Shel Tana Golem. So Lul Nekev the Lul Sultana Golem is Bona, and Halacha Perkhav Kimel Halacha Aleph, he says Ha'ol Shenekev Kol Shehu Asul Hachmas Hotzi Kigon Nekev the Lul Sultana Golem Makav Patash. And also in Halacha Tezayin in Perk Yud, he says Hamakav Patash Hakach Haschayev V'chulei Va'osen Nekev Kol Shehu Bain be'eitz, bain be'batechas, bain be'vinyan, bain be'kelim, ha'reza told us makpatish v'chayiv. That's like Shmuel. Here he didn't say lul sultana golem, but it's a nekev kol shehu, machloka, and he's paskening like Shmuel. So what in the world is going on here? Who is he paskening like, Rav or Shmuel or both? The Lecha Mishnah says, well, we paskening like Rav, and Rav holds... I don't remember which one the halacha is on. Yeah. It's in Perek Yud, I think. He paskening like Rav, and Rav holds that you're chayev af mishem bona, but also mak bepatish. According to Shmuel, it's not bona. So now it's very good. So we paskin like Rav consistently. But the Rambam's telling us that it's not like the way we said in Rashi and Tosos, that if you're chayev mishum bona, you're not chayev mishum makbapatish. No. Rav says you're chayev af mishum bona, and certainly makbapatish. Why wouldn't you be chayev mishum makbapatish? And therefore, you're chayev shtayim. But we're basically paskening like Rav, right? V'nivra shuzel mefarsh, demashakas of Rav chayev mishum bona, kilomar afilo mishum bona. Okay. Sounds like, again, you're chayv shtayim, even though you're only mechavin to do one thing. We've talked about this a number of times. Can you be chayv shtayim when you're only chayv to do, when you're only mechavin to do one thing? The Lecha Mishnah over here is saying yes, at least in the case of Mak Bepatish.
Is that a discussion that maybe might match
different? You could hear such a tzad, but at the very least, that's what he's saying. Now, then we have to figure out how far, right? This is what the Lecha Mishnah says. Vim tomar, am I low cost of sham chayv shtayim? Mishum bor merake, dom alash kaz ma'ala, b'zom yitzach leitzim, chayv shtayim. So if the Rambam actually thinks you're chayv shtayim, it's a little fair. He should have said so when he says you're chayv mishum ach b'patash. Yishlomar, du sova de bor merake, dom ula dade, v'ein ro'i shia chayv shtayim. The lo ave elinyan hasra, this is my master name. In other words, we have a kasha. We know that if you do borer, you're not chayv shtayim. Mishum borer, or you do merakid, you're not chayv, even though merakid should be an act of borer. And the answer presumably is because since it's merakid, it's not borer. All right, if they weren't three melachos, then you would be chayv for borer when you did merakid. But since it is a separate melacha, and it's the same thing. So now the Lecha Mishnah is asking, so how could I be chayiv? In other words, why is every merakid not borer if I could be chayiv shemakar patish and also bona? And it's not like zomer tzarch le'etzim, because zomer tzarch le'etzim, you're chayiv to do two different things. So the answer is that borer and merakid are basically so similar to each other that it couldn't be that you're chayev shtayim, because then you'd always be chayev shtayim. Makbatish and bone are sufficiently different from each other that there's no problem to take me chayev shtayim even without being mechavin for both of them. But Loisa, I think it's a very difficult ukim. The Melacha Mishnah acknowledges this, that the Rambam says you're chayiv shtayim here without actually telling you that you're chayiv shtayim.
That lumnus is similar to what we said by kosher and kosher. Like, mm-hmm. If it's necessary, then even if in general you can be chayiv shtayim, it can't be that you need chayiv
shtayim. Mm-hmm. Yes. Lulei the Melacha Mishnah, I think there's a much simpler way to read the Rambam, which is no, the Rambam does think, like the Melacha Mishnah wants to say originally, that you're holding the chayiv shtayim if you're mechayiv into two things. And the pshat over here is that, and just to say before we get to it, the Lecha Mishnah himself says it's very shver that the Rambam, this is that in Halacha Yadalid, when he says Yechaim Shemek Magbe Patish, that's it. He doesn't say Bona, right? Mikol Makom Sasam Kam Rabbeinu Harbe Bezeh, Shailo Lichtov Chayiv Mishem Bona Umishem Magbe Patish. Okay, so that's the problem with the Lecha Mishnah's answer. Magen Avram, Shin Yudalad, Sifkatan Gimel, is also troubled by this. He doesn't like the Lecha Mishnah's answer. And he says, you know what? We're going to have to make a new Kimta. When the Rambam in Perek Chav Gimel says, that Yechai Mishnah Makpach by Lul Sultan Golem, you know we're talking about a case? A Lul Sultan Golem that's not Mechubar. So Yechai Mishnah Makpach and not Bona. And when the Rambam in Perek Yud says, Yechai Mishnah Makpach, I mean, maybe Shimbona by the Lul Sultan Golem. It means a Lul Sultan Golem, that's Mechubar. Fine. This is even more Dochak. Because in both cases, he calls it a Lul Sultan Golem without anywhere telling you it's Mechubar or not Mechubar, right? So if a Lul Sultan Golem means the same thing in both places, unless he's going to tell you there's a difference. So this is very, very fair. So I think the answer is that the Rambam actually clearly in black on white spells out the difference. The Rambam in Halacha Yudalad says you're Chai Mishim Bona because it's not a Pesach Lahachnis Lahotzi. The Rambam writes, it's a Nekif Kolshis Laora. I think the Rambam had a different girsa. We have Avira Nars, he had Ora. But the point is, this is a one-way window. As opposed to Perchav Gimel, where he writes explicitly, it's Lahachnis Ulahotzi. In other words, apparently, the Rambam notes there's two types of holes in a lul. You can make two types. You can make one that's for light, one way window, or you can make it for air, two-way windows. And that's why the Rambam writes in Halacha Tezayin as well in Perek Yud explicitly that to be Chayim Shemak Patish, it has to be a two-way window. So now the Rambam is very medir, right? In Halacha Yadalad, he says, if you make a one-way window, you're Chayim Mishim Bona. In Halacha Tezayin, he says, if you make a two-way window, you're Chayim Shemak Patish. Perek Chav Gimel, he says, if you make a two-way window, you're Chayim Shemak Patish. So everything is Gishmak. Rambam is very clear what the difference is. But the question is, why? And I guess you could ask it in a couple of ways. First of all, why is it that if it's a two-way window, it's not also bona? In other words, what's the chisara? The kasha, sort of, that the Lecha Mishnah asks on himself, is even worse for my pshat. In other words, the Rambam over here seems to be taking the opposite approach of what we were assuming until now. Until now, we were assuming Magbe Patish is basically something that's not particularly substantial or significant, but because of its context, you're chayiv. And here we're saying, I think the Rambam says, that when it's a two-way window, which presumably is more chashuv, that's Magbe Patish and not bona. Again, unless you bite the bullet and say Magbe Patish plus bona, like the Lecha Mishnah says. But if you're not going to want to say that, so what's the pshat?
What's the difference between the holes? One's bigger.
The kavana. The Rambam doesn't say it's bigger. I mean, it could be that maybe what you're suggesting is that because the nekev for avir is very small and therefore can't be bona, but since it's two ways, it could be magbe patish, and the hole for or is big, And therefore, it couldn't be Makpadish because not two ways, but it is Bonab because it's big. The problem, but the Rambam, in other words, you're saying that the Kol Shehu is what makes it Bona and not Makpadish.
That would mean that fundamentally a one-way window would be
right.
Don't we say by not as four stone?
I can't hear that comment.
Does it? Yes, for map is more to such a be chayiv, it has to be lahachnas lalti. But in this case, in the case map is more so when it's not lahachnas lalti, it's nothing. In other words, that's not chashiv enough, right? So what you're saying, I was going to say something else, but maybe what you're saying is a better answer. What you're suggesting is that that the whole that's lahot, or the chiluk that I said is correct, but or is a bigger thing. Okay.
Can I suggest a different possibility altogether?
Yes.
And this is probably be, assuming that the word is avir, not or.
Mm-hmm. No, but it's not or. It, for the Rambam, it's or is the point.
It's definitely or in the corner of the Rambam?
That's what he says.
I thought there was a difference in Girsa. And
the difference in Girsa may be in the Gemara. The Rambam writes, in Halacha Yadalit, ha'os ha'nekev kol shu b'lul sotan ha'golem, k'dei shikanes lahen ha'ora, chayv misham bona. But when it's, and ha'os ha'nekev kol shu, ha'os ha'nekev shu asu lahachnes. And it's meduyuk, by the way, like you, because it says a kol shehu. So the point is that it's very meduyuk. And then when he's talking about makbe patish, so he says ha'osa nekev shehu asui lahachnes ulhotzi kigol nekev shebelul shel tarnagolim shehu asui lahachnes ora ulhotzi ha'evel harei zechai mishum makbe patish. So there, one second. But still, you have the kasha. Why are you also chai mishum bona, right? So either you have to say like the Lecha Mishnah that you're taka chai shtayim, or you're going to have to say that since it's maka bepatish, it's not bona. In other words, the reverse of Rashi and Tosfos.
Didn't we mention one other place where they're not specific?
There is a place where the Rambam says you could be Chayiv Shtayim. Well, at least the Magen Mishnah assumes you would be Chayiv Shtayim, and he doesn't spell it out. That's what the Lecha Mishnah says, and it's not an impossible pshat. It's Dochak in both of these places. Just a second.
Could I continue? The word Ora versus Avir is a problem for me. But anyway, in general, you say the whole to be Machnius and Motzi is for what's the essence of the what the Kli is holding, right? So,
this is a
rule. So, I would think that
the Rambam says it's lahotzi or lahachnes or lahotzi havel.
What does the or mean in this case? You say the motzi, I can understand the sun is shining, or nowadays you have an electric light shining into the lul. But right. What does it mean to be motzi or? I'm wondering maybe the Rambam just writing the word avir without a yud.
He writes Aleph Vav Resh Hey. Ha'ora. Hey Aleph Vav Resh Hey.
Is that, in Rabbinic Hebrew, is that the word used for light? Isn't it usually or without the hey at the end? I thought Ora is sort of a poetic form we find in Tanakh once in a while.
So, I don't know. You're saying Lahachnes Ha'ora means Ha'avira?
Yeah, because it makes sense. The chicken coops are known to be very sneaky.
No, I understand. Yeah. So
what does it mean to be?
Maybe you're right. So yeah, okay, fine. So
anyway, the bottom line is maybe the Rambam's considering.
Okay, so you're saying that this is a two-way ha'avira. Okay, yeah, and fine.
It's a kind of yipui to make the chicken coop less stinky.
Ah, uh-huh. Aha. Uh-huh.
Right.
I hear. I don't know. So okay. So what you're saying is another answer. You're saying that. No, but one second.
It
doesn't help us because he says Ha'osa Nekev Kosul Satan Golem Shikanis Lahan Ha'ora Chai Mishim Bona. So if it's Lahachnis and you're saying Ora in both places means air.
That's what
I would think. If it's Lahachnis air, you're Chai Mishim Bona, and if it's Lahachnis air and Lahotzi air, you're Chai Mishim Machbe Patish and Ha'bona. Right.
Listen, I maybe the Rambam says this exact same spelling in both places.
Yes.
Oh, all right. I was going to think that maybe you need a bigger hole to let in light because a little tiny.
That was the answer that he suggested. I think that's a great answer, but there's a couple of problems. First of all, then why aren't you chayv shtayim? And second of all, in the case where he says you're Chaim Shemach B'Patish, he also says Lahachnes Ha'ora. So it seems to be the same size. Right?
Unless
unless you say, and this is what he was suggesting before, that if it's a two-way window, then it's much smaller, even though it's going to, you're satisfied with a small amount of light. That's what you're saying. Really what he means in Perek Chaf Gimel is it's a, I don't know. It still seems like, according to the Rambam, we really have two choices. Either we're going to have to say that you're chayv shtayim and Rambam just doesn't spell it out, or we're going to have to say that if you're chayv misham makba patish, then you're not chayv misham bona, which is a very makba patish. It's the opposite of like Rashi and Tosfos. Makba patish is such a chashuv malacha that it sort of pushes out the other one. So as opposed to Rashi and Tosfos, who hold that makpatish is a shvacha malacha. So therefore, if it's chayv mishum bona, you're not chayv mishum makpatish. Rambam is saying, okay, makpatish is the most chashuv malacha. It's not chashuv necessarily in so far as it's tikkun, but it's chashuv in a different sense. And therefore, if it's chayv mishum makpatish, then it won't be chayv mishum any other malacha.
Yeah.
That would be, I think, the other direction that you would go in the Rambam, which is a very, it's not, again, it's not that Makpatish is the least chashim malacha, it's the most chashim malacha.
What I said before about the or, it doesn't make sense to be motzi or. So I wanted to read it as avir and just spelled choser. I'm going to...
That's motzi hevel, not or.
Oh, motzi hevel. Oh, okay.
I just wonder how you could say the most chashuv malacha if he said the magadish that he's the kind of people that have chashuv
malacha. Well, then you don't need it. Then you're chai for both, right? You don't say it's...
Right. I'm saying why, if you can be factor in occupied with Shabbat, then you are.
Right. And you don't have to make it chashev. Still be the least chashev, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Those are the two options. Now, I think that's the easier way to say it. You just, instead of saying the chiluk of the lecha mishnah, we could say the difference is what's the purpose of the whole, right?
What the kavan is of the whole?
Like what's the goal of the whole? Is it lachnis lahotzi or just lahachnis? Fine. Okay. Let's turn briefly, we'll at least introduce, we'll do this quickly and then we'll stop, I guess, the sugya of Binyan Mesir B'Kela. So in the second parak of Be'ah, Chafet Malef, it says, Ein Binyan B'Kelem. Now, in our sugya that we just read, we saw that according to Rav, Ayel Shifta B'Kufina D'Mara, Yechai Mishem Bona, clearly, Yesh Binyan B'Kelem. So Tosfos to Rashba, they all say that Rav's view is even according to the opinion of Ein Binyan B'Kelem. In other words, when we say Ein Binyan B'Kelem, that doesn't mean, it's not categorical, it's only occasional. When will we say binyan v'stira b'kelim, even if we pass an ein binyan v'stira b'kelim? So Tosos and the Rashba have two different approaches here. According to Tosos, the chiluk is whether it needs umnus, a chizuk v'umnus. If it requires chizuk v'umnus, then everybody agrees yesh binyan v'stira b'kelim. If it doesn't require chizuk v'umnus, then ein binyan b'kelim. Or then we would paskin ein binyan b'kelim. You would acknowledge that it's machlokas, but we would at least conclude ein binyan b'kelim when it doesn't need chizuk v'omnus. The Rashba gives the same type of answer, but he says it a little differently. He says the lashon is very meduyak, that ein binyan b'kelim, meaning to say you're not chayv mishum bona when it comes to kelim, but the pshat is that you are chayev for creating a kli, like asiyas kli, right? There's no binyan b'kli, but you're chayev for asiyas kli. And that's why he says, for example, you're chayev misham megabein for bona. Why? Certainly, it's if you held ein binyan b'kelim was always true, so it's very strange to say that, well, you could be chayev for cheese for binyan, but not for a table. Right? Why is a table less sayach to binyan than cheese? But the pshat is no. Ein binyan b'kelim means that binyan means just adding a little more. But if you created a kli, then you're chayev mishum meleches bona. And likewise, if you create the cheese, you're chayev mishum meleches bona. So that's what it means. In binyan b'kelim, binyan you're not chayv b'kelim, but asiyas kli you're chayv mishum bona. So it's like Tosfos in that we're saying even if you hold ein binyan b'kelim, you could be chayv for meleches bona b'kelim. According to Tosfos, he doesn't have that knach in the word.
What is stira by cheese?
What meleches asiyah?
It's bona. You're chayv misham melechas bona, but he's just saying that the lashon of ein binyan v'kelim is meduyak. When you see us clear, chayv misham melechas bona.
Uh-huh.
Excellent question. Are you going to be chayv for stira of cheese? Right? Now, there's presumably anytime you do it, you do it. So I think the answer is yes and no. Stira is reversing the process of binyan. If you were to take the cheese and return it to a state of curds and whey, so then maybe that would be stira. But eating the cheese,
for instance, you could have something. You're saying, is it chemically possible? No, I'm sure that there's going to be curds and whey.
I don't know. I mean, it's a chemical transformation when you put the rennet in.
Does everything
need to have
stira? I don't know if I'm getting out of us, but
we're
not there right now. It's over.
Right. So what we're saying over here, I mean, theoretically maybe, but not practically.
Right,
correct.
Right, right.
So, now the Ramban, the Rashba quotes Ramban as adding, as Ramban says this Mahalik of the Rashba, but he says, but still, if it needs an uman for kli, you're going to be chayev. Now, that's similar to Tosos. Tosos also said that when it comes to kalim with an uman, you're chayev. There's just a different kinach. The way the Ramban says it, Lashitaso, is that any time you need an umin, then clearly it's asiya. It's osikli mitchilaso, because if a head yoke can't do it, so it's clearly bato mitaras kli. So again, both Tosas and Ramban would say that if you need an umin, you're chayv mishum bona b'kelim. But what the umin does is a little different, because what the Ramban is saying is if you need an umin, then we'll see that as asiyas kli. It's like when people try to take apart their kelim to avoid tefilas kelim, but then they can't put it back together again. So if you can't put it back together again, then for sure you don't need tefila. It's just you don't have your kli. Okay, so that's those are the two approaches. So again, what comes out according to Ramban, bottom line, is he's saying you're chayev for binyan b'kelim if three things in three different situations. One is osikli mitchilaso, right? And he says that for sure is chayev mishum bonei l'chabinyan gadol mizeh. If it needs an umen b'chazaraso, you're chayev mishum bonei, because that's also osikli mitchilaso. Sharei mishash and esparik vein hedya b'yachol achziro batal mitaras kli. But then the Ramban says, kol heichi detaka b'yisedos v'sichin chayev mishum bonei. So anytime you need nails or screws or something like that, that's also going to be chayav mishum bona. Okay, so far we have the first school of thought, which is Tosfos, Ramban, Rashba, all of whom hold that even though we paskin ein binyan b'kelim, there is binyan b'kelim when certain conditions are met. However, then the Rashba notes that the Rif and Rav Haigon seem to hold that there's no binyan b'kelim at all, and that this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is actually totally in a machlokas about binyan v'stira b'kelim. And that's why the Rif omits this case. So according to Shmuel, there is no binyan b'kelim at all, right? And that's why Shmuel rejects Rav. Rav says that when you stick the handle into the blade, so you're chayav mishum bona. Why does Shmuel reject that? Because Shmuel paskins ain't binyan v'stira b'kelim. That's the view of Rav Haigon. That's the view of the Rif. And that also seems to be the view of Rashi in a number of places. Rashi seems to paskin ain't binyan b'kelim at all. Where do you see that in Rashi? So I'll just mention number one, Ayin Dalet on the base, as Tosas points out in over there in Dibur Maschil Chavisa. The Gemara over there says, that's the Gemara where it says, Yudhiri Chayev, this many, 8 malachos, 9 malachos, 10 malachos, 13 malachos, right? And Rashi keeps on telling you, oh, but none of them are bona, because we're talking about Kalim. So Rashi over there quite clearly seems to say categorically.
Even like the Ramban and like Tosas.
Right, exactly. And Tosas over there. Absolutely. So, and that's what Tosas mentions on Ayin Dalet base. He disagrees with Rashi. Rashi Beit Zachah Beis Meralef Dimasel Ein Tars Binyan Bekli says the same thing. Rashi in Kuf Chaf Beis Amid Beis Gzeir Hashem Yitaka. So according to the Ramban, we saw that Mishum Bona, and Rashi over there says Gzeir Hashem Yitaka V'Chayv Mishum Maka Bepatish. Rashi Beitza Yud Aleph Amud Beis, he says, Ein Isser Binyam Sir Bekalim, El Bebatim, Dinachai Mishum, Dinachai Vinim Kol Dehu, Faosakli, Ogomro Biom Tov, Obishabis, Mishamaka Padish Machayev. Again, pretty straightforward. Rashi, Kovzain Mud Aleph, Hamapis Morsa, Em Lasos La Pechayev, Mishum Bone Pesach, O Mishum Mesakin Kli, So here, Rashi is not consistent. In the first four places, we've seen Rashi always say exclusively makbapatish. I think the pshat in this Rashi is he's saying, if you hold yesh binyan b'kelim, it's misham binyan. And if you hold like Shmuel, if you hold ein binyan b'kelim, it's going to be makbapatish. That's why he says both. There's not really a kashan Rashi. He says misham bona, o misham Makabapatish, Markadislay, according to Rav Bona, because Rav holds Yesh Binyan B'Kelim, according to Shmuel, not. Rashi Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, is a problem, because there he says binyan, but it's not a problem because he says shema yitaka bavi bonet, but that's a statement of Rav, also not a problem. Rav holds yesh binyan b'kelim. The only strange thing is, why is Rashi always so same like Shmuel? Now, as Lamaisa, we would think actually you should pass him like Rav, halacha k'Rav b'surin, and Rashi is always either mentions both possibilities, or in the first four examples was so same like Shmuel, that ain't binyan b'kelim at all. So the Gra, Shin Yud Dalid Dalid, says that no, here we're going to pass him like Shmuel, because we pass him like Rava on Kuf Chav Gimel on the base, who says that you're Chayv Mishabak Bapatish and not Bona.
Also, and, we weren't there, which makes it sound like.
Yes. And also other, sorry, he cites a number of sources, including the Yerushalmi, all of whom seem to assume that word. So the answer is, Rashi is not, in those places where he just says Makpatish, it's because he's so same, Ali Ben Hochasa. But indeed, obviously Rav doesn't agree. So far what we have, we could, I guess, three opinions, right? First is Tosfos, that when you have Chizuk V'omnos, it's Binyan. Then we have the Chachmei Svarad, who say when it's a Sias Klimei Chadash, it's Binyan. And we have Rashi, who says basically this Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and we're going to pass in like Shmuel, that ain't Binyan B'Kalim, and only Mach B'Patish. The fourth view, most exciting, is the Reim. You know what the Reim says? Even Rav holds Ein Binyan B'Kalim. Even Rav. And what's his proof? Because Amar Yud Amar Rav, this is Bava Madlikin, Masikin B'Kalim Ein Masikin B'Shivri Kalim. So he says, one second, on Yom Tif. So if Shivri Kalim are Muksa, you can't throw them into your fire. But you have a kli, you want to throw your chair into the fire on Yom Tif? Great. Ein L'chastir G'dolam Zul.
You're not breaking it.
Isn't that stira? It's taking it and turning it into ashes. So it could be that's what everybody else will say. But the Reim says, oh, you see from there that even Rav does not hold of Binyan v'stira b'kelim. That's his lashon is, en lecha stira gedola me'asaka. And this actually brings you back to the point that you were sort of raising with cheese. How do you define stira? But the Reim, and it's intuitively makes a lot of sense. He's saying, look, if you take a chair and I rake it into two, that's stira. Okay, it might be potter because it's makalkel, but it's stira. I break the chair into two. So if I burn it into ashes, ein lecha stira gedolam mizu, must be Rav holds also ein binyan b'kelim. Aye, what about Gemara? Right? Our Gemara is explicit. It's a very creative reading of our Gemara. Rav says it's bona. In other words, this isn't makra patish. It's an act of binyan. Of course, you're potter because ain't binyan stira b'kelim.
He's given a hadara.
Yes.
A meisah, but not a meisah
makra. Exactly. That's what he says. Dim kain kasha de rav and rav. Right? Halo kasha. De behabona hachi perusho. Rav amar mishim bona perush marazos mechuseres binyan bechisaron shufta. This is an act of binyan. Hilkach ein bo iser makam patish sheino nekra makam patish elu davar sheino mechutzer bin shakas patish hulachik mar binyan. What did we say makam patish is when you're all done? This is lacking binyan. Oh, the lo amar rav mishum bona lo mashu chiyav bona b'davar da'ain stira binyan b'kelim. Very.
He must have been very, very, very convinced that Ein Lachas Stira.
Yes.
Because that's a dohak in this Gemara.
That's for sure.
So he must have felt that it was very, very muchar in that Gemara.
So what's everybody else going to say about his kasha from the burning?
They're going to
get rid of the stira. So the Gra says that's grama. That's why it's mutter. Right. Grama is mutter on Yom Tov. In other words, it is stira, but it's gram stira. Putting the chair into the fire is gram stira, and therefore you are potter. Grama is mutter, especially on Yom Tov. And again, what about Mara, Kufina Bishofta Demara, that's going to be a machlokas. So the Urayim isn't quite Shitas Rashi, even with respect to Rav. But Lahalacha, it comes out the same way. Because Lahalacha, both Rashi and Urayim, / Rav Haigon and Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rif, they're all going to say there's never been in Mistira B'Kelim. According to Rashi, that's because we paskin like the opinion in Ben Yisir Kalim, and Koichi Reim, because according to the Reim, because there's no bit, even Rav doesn't hold that way. According to Rashi, it's because we don't paskin like Rav, and according to the Reim, it's even Rav didn't say it. But at the end of the day, we're going to go ahead. You know, when you start reading the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, and how far you got, they're going to always refer to Yireim as the sheet of Ein Binyan B'Stira V'Kelim. But Yireim does hold that way, but he's the most extreme version because he thinks nobody says that. But it's also, halach l'maisa, going to be the view of Rashi, Rav Haigel, the Rif, and others. And the Gra really endorses this view. He thinks that there's a lot of evidence for this from Yushalmi and other sources.
So this goes to Yerushalmi as being mechalik between like Levinim and all the way ends that says the summit, right? Mm-hmm. So meaning he thinks the Yerushalmi is also in the mystery of Kalim, and just the Gemara in Erevin, the reason why they don't break open the Migdal is because they couldn't break it open.
Mm-hmm.
But Nachanami, you could have broken it open, right? Okay, so it's also the Shit Yerushalmi.
Mm-hmm.
And right, on the Gemara called Bay is that so the Gemara number says Chai Mishimbona, it just says Mishimbona?
Yeah.
It just says Mishimbona.
Right.
Okay, so that's, I see that now.
Now what also comes out, especially if you hold, if you paskin like the Machmirim on the Shaila, is that then the definition, in other words, let's say it this way, everybody agrees that there's a difference between Kalim and Karka. The question only is how big of a difference that is. So according to the Rashi Yireim school of thought, the difference is that there's no binyan at all by Kalim, only by Karka. According to Tosfos, the threshold, the standard for binyan by Karka is much less, even if it's loose or something like that. Your Chayv Mishimona. So nobody's denying the difference. In fact, that's actually what makes, let's say, the Reims approach or even Rashi Lalacha much more appealing, which is we could end up with one definition of Bona, right? Bona means what Bona means. According to Tosfos, and that school of thought, what you have to say is, well, Bona has two different definitions. Bona means one thing when it comes to Kalim, Chizuk, the Umnos, and a different definition when it comes to Karka. And so even though it's Shaykh binyan by Kalim, it has a different definition. Okay, that's not unheard of. It's not a problem, but it's much simpler.
Well, we'd probably be saying binyan applies by Kalim when it's dolet to Karka. That's probably the way that they would speak.
Why would it be the chizuk the umnus makes it double well, Karka, or it just gives it more chashivas?
For the Ran, that's for sure what he's saying, right? If it's large enough to kli gogol.
No, but that's different. In other words, what the Ran is in Rashi's school.
Right.
The Ran holds like Rashi, and he's just saying, oh, when in areas, there are certain areas of halacha where we see Kalim have a din Karka. But we could still say there's one definition of bona. And what is the, and you're only chayev for bona by karka. It just happens to be that we have the Xeris HaKasov and all, you know, in various areas of Torah, that something that's machzik arbaim saw has a din karka.
Right, yes, you're understanding.
For Tosfos,
it's like, you don't need chuzik b'umnas, and here you
right, for, right. So again, you could, we've, it's not the first time we said that since it's karka, it's more say, but it's much more complex. There's no single definition of bona, whereas, when you learn, if you take the Rashi, Yireim, that Ran, Rif, Rav Haigel, that school of thought, so now it's much more elegant. It's much, we know it. We have a definition of bona, and then are you chayv or not? How do we paskin? So we'll have a chance to see this more next time because I think we should stop here. But we will see that the Gra thinks that we paskin like the Rashi school of thought, that there's no binyan v'stir b'kelim at all. The Mechaber is Machmir. The Mechaber, though, in Sefalfi, doesn't even bring down a lenient view. Later on, in Sif, what is it, Zion, I think, he does bring down the lenient view as a Yesh Omrim, and he only mentions it over there. So he doesn't make that chiluk. So it's hard to know. And in the end of the day, how many nafkaminas are there going to be? Probably it's not clear because it, you know, they're all explaining the same cases.
Right.
So, and like we said, the Ramban school thought came very close to Tosfos, just with a different lambdas. So I don't know. It's interesting to think about, you know, are there nafkaminas or not? But I don't think you could tell from the Mechaber one way or the other. At least I didn't have any bias. But at least the Mechaber seems to say that it's an open shiloh, which is why he's willing to be Mako for Amir Lenachri. The Marshal says, what are you talking about? If you pass Kiniyish Beninistir Bekalim, so why you make a family on Achri? It's only if it's going to be a Shvus to Shvus B'makom Mitzvah or half sit or the like.
So even the Mechaber only held it as a Chumrah?
I didn't say it's a Chumrah. The Mechaber may be held of it as a Suffolk. And therefore, when it's a Dirabban and Shaila, like Amir Lanachri, he's willing to be Mako. Right. Okay.
Is that how we pass it?
We'll talk about how we pass it. When we'll do next time, we're going to start going through this. You know, the Mishnah Bura things, you know, doesn't seem to accept the Gra. It seems to be fine. But he throws it in, and, you know, he also is the one who makes the Gra famous. I'm saying, makes the point that the Gra makes the show.
Okay, and I was thinking, according to like the Tosis in the Ran, this is an example, I forgot which other Nafa came up in, but where the Tolda is going to be more Chomer than the Av. Right? For the Tolda, in order for it to be. Oh no! I guess it'll be less Chomer.
Right, but I don't know where you see that here.
No, sorry, it's going to be less. Right.
Okay, so Mir Hashem, same place, same time tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great day.
Question?
Yes.
Does anybody say that Ein Binyan Bestir B'Kalim refers to Kalim which can be assembled and disassembled?
I don't understand what you mean. I'm sorry.
In other words, that actually building a Kli would be Binyan.
So right.
You just have a Kli which is made to be taken apart and put together again.
So that's what we're going to get to there. That's similar to, yes, the Gemara has such a thing. The Gemara seems to say that certain types of kelim that are meant to be assembled and disassembled is okay, and certain times it's aser, and sometimes it's chai, sometimes it's pater, and as is Hashem, tomorrow we'll talk about those cases.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, have a good day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good Chodesh.
Sure, good Chodesh. Yes, Ezra, go ahead.